Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, praise and give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you because of your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I thank you also as I declare this morning that the entrance of your word indeed brings light and will give understanding to every one of us today. And Jeremiah said, thy word was like fire in my bones. Can't wait to get it out. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's embark on this journey of getting ourselves re-fired up. That's right. We've been, the beginning of the year, just reminding ourselves of all the great promises and different things that the Lord promised us. Well, one of those promises was emerging into, you know, more of his likeness. Well, for us to do that, we need to hear lessons, you know, such as this. Praise the Lord. I'm going to start off here by reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 14. And here's the question. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? That's the question, you know. And let's take a look at what he proposed as an answer. Well, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that doth shake hands with holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing, that biting, hearing of blood, gossip, or anything else, shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. Hallelujah. You know, did not even the scripture say in another place, while the psalmist, the way he asked a similar question, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Almighty, who shall abide in his tabernacle? Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Well, again, he said, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, but changeth not. Hallelujah. And all these things, you know, put that on artists out there to make gain of the backs of innocent people. See? Take a reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Question again. Who among us dwell with the devouring fire and the everlasting burnings? Well, let's see, you know, what the Lord commanded us again, a reminder. You know, when we started, or the Lord commissioned this platform as a daily room, here's what the Lord said to us in the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 8. The Lord said to Moses, saying, concerning Aaron and his sons, well, talking to the priests and the priesthood, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because, you know, why is it called burnt offering? Well, it's going to give you the reason here. Because of the burning upon the altar all night long until the morning. The fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Now, this is the way the priests are supposed to be. supposed to be around fire all the time. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put on his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the fire, and he shall put them beside the altar. And after that, put off his garments and put on other garments. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, O Zion of God. Put on the garments. Say, the Lord has clothed me with the robe of salvation. Put on those garments. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Glory to God. You know, so we put off the old, filthy garments and put on new man and the new garments. Carry the ashes, thou the camp unto a clean place, and thy fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. He shall also burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. Now the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, see, that's it. That's the law of the burnt offering. And I call it flesh on fire. You know, we got to put something and put that flesh on fire of the altar every day. And you know, there are many scriptures that depicts God as a God of fire. Praise God. It's a God of fire. And we're going to talk about, you know, what does fire mean? And why is it used in representation of God, you know, like that? But before I do that, let me read some other depictions of, you know, fiery, you know, presence of the Lord and things like that. In Exodus chapter 27, we read, you know, in the we read in the 20th chapter, yeah, 20th verse rather, sorry, about the burning lamp. You know, thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Now, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, right? Aaron and his son shall order it from evening to morning, shall be a statute forever unto the children of Israel, the generations. They bring, you know, oil and put it in the lamp and let it be burning. The song we used to sing back in the day say, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, keep me burning. Well, it said, bring that oil, put it in the lamp, and let it be burning all the time. Now, we're going to talk about that oil. We're going to talk about that fire. You know, we're going to talk about, you know, what it means for it to be burning and what causes it to go out to. You know, that's another thing that we're going to consider in this mini series. Let's read also Exodus 30. This is all the places where the Lord commanded them to burn this fire every day. From verse 7, Aaron shall burn down, said, sweet incense every morning, and he dresses the lamps. So every day he's supposed to do a lamp trimming. Every single day. You know, these days we talk about lamp trimming time at the end of the age and so on. Well, these people were supposed to trim the lamp every single day. Said, dress the lamp every morning. Burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighted the lamps even at evening, so he'll do it twice a day, really. Do it in the morning, do it in the evening. Shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense and fire before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense or strange fire. We'll be talking about that as well. You know, don't offer anything strange unto the Lord, even there, you know. And don't bring any drink offering either. God doesn't want all that stuff. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it. Once a year, the blood, the sin offering, and all this shall make an atonement, you know, for it. And it shall be a memorial to you throughout all generations. This was the beginning of how God used to establish the practice of everlasting fire, burning and incense continually. Now, the incense, of course, you know, we don't, I mean, we're not talking of physical burning of incense or physical oil in this lesson or series. We're talking about spiritual application of these things. You know, what do these really mean? That's what we're going to be talking about. And why must we crank up the fire and the oil? I want to be burning every day. Well, the reason is because many are asleep. You know, scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, wherefore the Lord said, awake, thou that sleepest. A popular story that we read, you know, in Matthew chapter 25, in verses 1 through 8, the story of the virgins. And you will notice that this story is actually sad story, you know, because according to this story, if we look at the symbolism of what it's representing, half of the people were foolish. That's sad. You would have thought the wise would have, you know, greater numbers than the foolish, but it was about half and half. You know, five were foolish, five were wise. What separated them? What was the characteristic that separated the wise and the foolish? Well, they both groups had lamps at the beginning. And those of us who come from Africa, we're used to we know what those lamps are, those kerosene lamps or whatever. It has a little container or reservoir in the bottom where you put usually very small. It's only so much oil that can fit in it. And so in this story, the wise thought ahead and carried extra oil, knowing that soon enough that oil will be burnt that was in the lamp itself, and they would have to pour more in. Well, the foolish didn't think ahead, but they all had oil. They all had lamps. And they all slumbered and slept, every one of them, you know, while the bridegroom was waiting. There's a lot of sad elements in this story. They were all slumbering and sleeping, even the ones that had, you know, extra oil. They were all sleeping, you know, sleeping virgins, all of them. Now, it's supposed to be, you know, Jesus said, be ye yourself also as men that wait and watch for their Lord, so that you will be out there when he comes in the fourth watch or fifth watch or whatever watch. You'll be ready to open on the, all of these people are sleeping. It's a sad story. Now, however, even though they were all sleeping, some of them were had a little more readiness in them. They were sleeping because they were tired, but they had made preparation, you know, and it's kind of like you're going on a trip. You're going to get on the flight. You're going to the airport the next morning. That doesn't mean you shouldn't sleep tonight. You can still sleep tonight, but you got your bags packed. You got your passport. You got everything, you know, got everything working that you need made preparations for everything that you need for that trip. If you're ready, you can still sleep. And you wake up, then you go. You know, but if you're not ready, you don't have your bags packed, and you wake up, and that's in the morning of your flight is when you start to run around, pack things, you are likely going to forget something. Well, you know, and we call it lamp trimming time. They scrambled. And you know how what you do with those kerosene lamps. You got to crank up the wick and cut off the part that has been covered with soot and ashes. Cut it off and crank off fresh wick and light the fire again. But if the oil has run out, you can crank it up all you want. It's not going to light because it has no fuel. And that's what happened in the case of the foolish. They cranked up, everybody cranked up their oil. Everybody trimmed their lamp, just like Aaron was told to trim the lamp. The morning, the evening, whatever. And so they all trimmed the lamp and shook the lamps. But lo and behold, oil had run out. Well, good thing was for 50% of these people, they could go to, they had reserves. You know, that they took along and they were able to pour in more oil, you know, as they all did the lamp trimming. And then the foolish came to the wise, you know the story, and say, well, give us of your oil because we ran out. And the wise wisely said, and they're using sound judgment here. No. They said no. At times you have to say no. Now, Jesus told this story. Let me just do a side digression here. Jesus told this story. These people that used wise judgment to say no. Because they're not going to let somebody else's lack of planning become their own problem. Now, it's good to carry your brother and your sister all along. But if they're going to drag you back, cut them loose. You know, I mean, God called Abraham alone. And out of the goodness of his heart, because his brother had died and his brother's son was there, carried that one along. Well, created all kinds of problems for him, you know. But, you know, God redeemed him out of all those later on anyway. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, we do all we can to get people along. But if they're going to cause you to miss the flight, you go to the airport, you know, you're waiting to get on the plane. And you want to travel with somebody, you're waiting for them, and they're calling, last call, the gate's about to be closed. And they don't show up, and they're not there. And you don't want to leave without them. But if you don't get on that flight, neither of you going to go anywhere. So, you know, why it's good to carry them along? Well, you know, if they're going to drag you down, you better cut them loose. Jesus said, look, if there's any part of your life that's going to cause you to miss God's glory, but I cut it out, whether it's a hand, an eye, a foot, or anything. And if it's not working, you better cut it out. You know, he's not talking about marriage, you know. Don't let the devil tell you anything in your heart. Because you have to take every part of the word of God. The same word of God says, let them not depart from one another. So he's not talking about marriage. But it's talking about other things, you know, that may be holding us back in our lives. But these people, when they cranked up the fire and the lamps had gone out, well, they had to put more oil. What are the things that make the lamps to go out? Well, in this story that Jesus told, it was the long wait and the long journey and so forth that made the lamps to go out. I mean, you know how long we've been waiting for the Lord to come. In the 70s was when I started here. That was 1970s was when I started hearing about the coming of the Lord. you know, right after the Lord called me, you know, was middle 70s. I started to hear about the coming of the Lord. We were all expecting the coming of the Lord even to happen in the 70s. Well, the 70s passed, the 80s passed, the 90s passed. 5 decades later, we're still talking about the coming of the Lord. In the meantime, many people fell, some asleep, and some slumbering and everything. And it's kind of like going around the wilderness for 40 years. And, you know, God allowed it until many of them perished. Looks like we've been in another wilderness of sorts, you know, 4 years now. We've been going around in circles. Maybe God's doing something similar. We'll wait until, you know, all the unbelieving people and bunch will perish, get out of the way. Because through long wait, weary is the heart. I mean, so people waited and waited and waited. The coming of the Lord is not so. What? To your tents, O Israel. Everybody, you know, some of them gave up. Scripture even says, smite the shepherd and scatter the flock. We had, a prophetic leader in the 80s, 90s. Some of us know him very well. Writer of the scrolls that was always calling out the coming of the Lord and getting us to be prepared. The devil also said, well, smite the shepherd, scatter the flock. Some people whose mind was on whom they thought was a prophetic leader that would guide, well, when he was smitten, the flock was scattered. You should have put your attention on the Lord. The Lord is a true shepherd. He's the one, you know, even for the Lord, the night he was smitten, his disciples were scattered. And the devil understands that, and he still used that in different times. But I tell you what, the word of the Lord is with us today, regardless of who has come or gone. You know, the Bible says, you know, the flower fadeth, you know, and perish, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and he that doeth the will of God will also abide forever. You know, so there are many reasons why the lamp goes out. And we may find ourselves in a slumbering situation. But Ephesians calls us to awake out of that sleepers. And when you awake, you must trim that lamp. You must crank it up, just like the virgins tried to do. Every one of them did that. Alas, some of them found no oil. Now, make preparation. Make sure you have oil. Practice putting oil in your lamp every day. That's what Aaron was supposed to do in the morning and the evening. Now, if people don't practice putting oil in their lamp every day, they wait until the alarm sounds when the Lord is about to come and say, oh, the bridegroom coming, go ye out to meet him. Well, they will not have any oil because they have not been practicing how to put oil in their lamps. So, ladies and gentlemen, we got to put oil in our lamps every day. We got to crank up that fire every day. Now, I'm going to tell you also some reasons why the lamp is dead. You know, before we come to the real fire and how to crank it up. But let me read the rest of it here so that you can see. Go back with me to Isaiah 33 and 14 and see what he says when he talked about, he that dwells with, among the, everlasting burnings and the devouring fire. Because of the way he says it, remember, he that walketh righteously speaketh uprightly in his heart, and so on and so forth. Now, that means if we're not doing these things, or the opposite of these things, this is what will bring the fire down. But the verse starts out by, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. So hypocrisy is a blocker to dwelling with the devouring fire. Who's a hypocrite? Well, Jesus talked about hypocrites. In Matthew chapter 23, the whole chapter, it's talking about hypocrites. He said, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. And he would say many things one way or another. You make compass land and sea about to, make one proselyte and then make them twice the child of hell. Ye hypocrites, ye blind gates, you will not go in and you will not let others go in. And then he called them out. All these practices are the things that make, and we have modern day Sadducees and modern day Pharisees too. And these practices are the things that make the fire to go out. Trying to be or give an appearance of who you are that you are not. It's what Jesus was saying. The things that they would do, they love the uppermost parts of this, rooms in the feasts. They love acclaim. This is the reason why there is no fire. If our congregation is full of people that love to be seen, like to be, known, and like to be acclaimed, and so on and so forth, then there will be no real fire going on there. And it will just be a show. Now, when, people, he said, you people even shut up the kingdom of heaven. I mean, powerful lessons that Jesus called out. In Matthew chapter 23, he called them out in verse 13. He said, woe unto you Pharisees, hypocrites, you shut up the kingdom of heaven. You will not go in. You will not let people go in. I mean, woe unto you. He called them out so many times. Hypocrites. Now, let me tell you, modern day hypocrisy, which is a different kind of hypocrisy. It is a make-believe, pretend you are something that you are not. In the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, Jesus called this out. The way he called it out, he said, well, I know thy works, and that thou hast a name, that thou livest, but you are dead. So that's hypocrisy. You pretend to be something, but you are really dead. You think, you pretend that you are living, but you are dead. Jesus called them out and said, you are whited sepulchres. On the outside, looks like it's clean, but inside are dead men's bones. Now, this church in Sardis, they were full of people that like to pretend that they were something that they were not. They like to pretend they were righteous, but inside, they were ravening wolves. The very things they were condemning on the outside was what they were doing on the inside when nobody was looking. That's what the Bible calls hypocrisy. He said the sinners are afraid. Hypocrisy has made them weak. They can't enter into the fire and the everlasting bodies. They can't go and dwell there because of hypocrisy. And Jesus doesn't like make-believe. If you look like something and you're not that thing, he doesn't like it. The story in Mark 11 was exactly that. He saw this tree afar off that had leaves, and the tree looked like it had something going on. The leaves of the tree were green, bunched together like that. So it looked like there might be some fruit on it. But when Jesus came there, he found no fruit. And Jesus doesn't like that kind of thing. So, if the tree from afar off had been dead, looked dry, dead, everything, the leaves were falling off, Jesus wouldn't have thought, oh, maybe there's fruit on it. He would have seen clearly that there is no fruit. But he came there. This thing had the appearance that he would have fruit. but he had no fruit. And so Jesus said, you are dead, and so you will be dead. That's it. You know, so this is one of the greatest things that quench the fire is hypocrisy. Instead of us crying out to God for his real fire, we're making pretense as if we had it, but we don't have it. You know, and Jesus said, you know, they are hypocrites. Isaiah calls them hypocrites. He said the hypocrites cannot make it into the devouring fire and the everlasting burnings. They can't. Because their life is one of hypocrisy. Now, the other thing that makes the fire to go out is what Jesus called, you know, thorns. In his parable in Matthew 13 of the seed falling among thorns, he said, choked out by the cares of this life. Choked out. So, those are some things that make the fire to go out. Another one that makes the fire to go out, more than anything else, is when we don't take the word of God seriously. You know, when we say it doesn't matter. The spirit of it doesn't matter will quench that fire quicker than anything else. You know, but when God says something, people say it doesn't matter. Here's what God said instead. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, this is, you know, who God cares about. And that tells you the opposite of who he doesn't care about. People that don't tremble at his word, God doesn't care about them. Because, you know, he said, this is the man to whom I will look. He that trembleth at my word. You know, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2. All these things, he said, you know, he said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, and what is the house you built to me? Where's the place of my rest? My hands have made all these things, you know. But this is the man, you know, it's not about big buildings, not about this and that, you know, but this is the one that I care about. This is the one that I'm coming to, he that trembles at my word, you know, but a person that doesn't tremble at his word, I say, well, that doesn't matter. See, that doesn't matter will kill that fire quicker than anything else. And God's word says something point blank, and we rationalize it, change it for our own situation. Well, you can be sure you cannot dwell, you know, with the devouring fire or everlasting burnings. Now, devouring fire. Let's talk about it. Why was it called devouring fire? What is this fire? You know, and God wants us to be fired up, you know, all the time. Perpetual burning in our lives. You know, but, and why did God use this depiction of fire in so many places? I mean, he would always talk about it. The Holy Spirit himself, when he came on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we see that there was fire involved. And Jesus himself talked about it beforehand. He asked his disciples, can you be baptized with the fire that I'm baptized with? They say, yeah. I say, okay. I mean, John the Baptist said, you know, in Matthew 3 and 11, the Holy Spirit is coming. Jesus the baptizer, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, God never wanted us to be lukewarm. In fact, that was one of the things he didn't like about the Church of Laodicea. You know, challenged them about it. Said, you are lukewarm. I'd rather you are fired up. If you are fired up, we know you are fired up. And if you are cold, we know you are cold. But this lukewarm hypocrisy thing in the middle, it just doesn't work. The lukewarm water doesn't taste good in the mouth. So I'll spew you out. Hot water is good. Cold water, we know, could be used for something. But this lukewarm stuff, and how do you get lukewarm water? You take hot water, you mix it with cold. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. A little cold water will make the hot water become lukewarm. So we need to stay fired up. Now, some people, unfortunately, you are in congregations and churches where there's a lot of, not even a little cold water, a lot of cold water. You may be fired up and then you go and hear something cold and so forth like that. You just make the whole thing become lukewarm. You need to stay fired up. Be careful now, you know, because lukewarmness comes from a mixture of hot. You hear a message such as this, then you leave from here, then you go hear something else that is cold, you know, that doesn't inspire anything. Then the next thing you know, the whole thing becomes lukewarm, you know, so we got to be careful. Now, there are various appearances of our God in fire. God loves fire. The first time he appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, we call it a burning bush till today. Well, God appeared in fire. The bush wasn't burning. It was just that God appeared in fire. And the likeness of it, the appearance of it, was as though the bush was burning. But it wasn't that kind of burning that would consume the bush. God's fire is purifying. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not just the fire that, you know, wildfire. You know, there are some places like in Arizona here where we live in the summer, we have wildfires in California, they have wildfires all the time. When the temperatures are so high and the brush and the trees, everything's so dry, a little fire kindle a lot. A small fire kindled a whole lot, and the whole thing can be on fire for a long time. We're not talking about that in the negative. But in the positive too, if it can fire it up, well, maybe we can light some fires. But you know, it's very hard to light fires in the spiritual realm if you have a lot of dead batteries. If we come into this platform, let's say there are 10 of us, and one or two people have charged up batteries, 8 or the rest of them are dead, and you want to use the charged up battery to charge up all the 8 or so that are dead, by the time you are finished, the other one will be drained and dead. You know, but if they all came up together and they were all charged up, and you touch those batteries, there's going to be an explosion. There'll be a spark. But there will be no spark if one of the batteries is dead or the terminals are corroded. There will be no spark. And so you need to clear the corrosion, the things that don't allow us to make contact. There are many corrosions. There are many kinks. Think of a garden hose that's connected to a tap supposed to let out the water. Well, I have a couple of garden hoses in my house, one in the front yard, one in the backyard. Occasionally, when these garden hoses are kinked up, the water is not flowing, even though they are connected to the tap. You can go and turn on the tap and crank it up as much as you want, and you see that the water is not flowing. You discover, you trace the hose, you see that there's one or two kinks somewhere. That's why the water is not coming. Even though the water is running, but it's not flowing because of the kinks. And you gotta get the kinks out of that hose in order for that thing to flow. Now, you don't need necessarily, it's not because the tap wasn't open. The tap was open. So you don't need necessarily to go and open the tap anymore. It's just, you can open the tap all you want. These kinks are not letting the water out. You got to find the kinks in the water hose. Open up the kinks. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. Then all of a sudden, boom, the water comes out. You know, but the water was there the whole time. The kinks would not allow the water to come out. Same thing in your plumbing, your faucet. Or turn on the water, it's not coming out. Well, there might be calcium deposits and different things that are kinked. I mean, just like the kinks that have blocked the flow of water. And that's why the water is not coming out. Same thing with Holy Spirit. Jesus calling, you know, the river of living water. Out of his belly shall flow forth rivers of living water. He that believeth on me, you know, now this river of living water, it can't really flow when there are kinks. you know, and when the connectors, battery connectors are clogged up or corroded, it's not going to be able to spark fire. You know, you got to clean the battery heads. You got to clean these things up. So there are reasons why we are unable to experience and retain that fire many times. God himself like fire, like I said, you know. Mount Sinai, when the Lord appeared unto them, you know, apart from Exodus 3, Mount Sinai itself, you know, was, the scripture says, all together in, on fire and in a smoke, when the Lord appeared to them like that, it was burning fire. The Lord will come in Exodus, you know, Exodus 19, he came there. There was a fire in verse 18, a smoke, fire, and all these things was happening. God, the Lord descended upon it. He said, Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. You know, this is Exodus 19 and 18. Was a fire, was a fiery presence of the Lord to the intent that people were scared and said, we can't hear the voice of God, you know, because they were not ready. Their lives, you know, were not the kind that could retain God's presence. And then God, many times it showed in the first couple of chapters of Ezekiel and also chapter 10, we see fire enfolding itself, the fire wheel within a wheel, fire, 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 in the presence of God. It was always about fire. It was something fired up about God all the time. And I mean, when you saw, and they saw his presence on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire came upon them like that, split each one of them. They were fired up. This Peter, who denied the Lord, three times in one night. One couple of those times were before, you know, people that were insignificant, like a maid and so on. When the fire of God fell upon him like that, I mean, he turned into something like a bold lion. He indicted that whole generation. Ye crucified the Prince of Life. And, you know, I told them, and he preached a powerful message. And they said, their hearts were prayed. They said, what shall we do, men and bread? You know, so well, repent ye and be converted, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and so on. He began to tell them, 3,000 souls in one day were baptized, and so on. You know, fire of God changed everything. And if we don't let that fire in us, well, you might as well be cold. But Jesus said, if you are not fired up, so I would that you are hot or cold. And if you are not going to be hot, then be cold. You know, but if you are kind of in between, well, God doesn't like that. So choose you this day whom you will serve. And choose where you will be. I will talk about some strange fire too later. But choose the kind of life you want to live. This wishy-washy, lukewarm kind of life, you know. Or a fired up life that's with the devouring fire and with everlasting burnings. Everlasting means it's always there. You don't allow it to go out. If it's about to go out, and it could go out in the morning, it could go out in the evening. Before it goes out, you crank it up again. You keep cranking it up again. Praise the Lord. Now, don't lose sight of the fire and the glory of God. Even though we talk about some of these things that the Lord will do for us in the year and so forth, and then they say, you know, back and forth. Now, just a reminder, if you lose sight of the fire and the glory of God, you've missed everything. This walking with God journey is for us to get into the place of the devouring fire and stay there. You know, can we do it? Well, the Lord will have to help us. But there are many, you know, many other things that will quench that fire. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, he said, because of the abundance of iniquity. And, you know, people disregarding the word of God, saying that doesn't matter and so on and so forth. He said, the love of many will wax cold. Instead of fired up, become cold. You know, that's all their surroundings and so forth. You know, I mean, when we are at ease in Zion, can be a real problem. When we are not excited about the things of God. Amos chapter 6 verse 1. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You know, we just don't, we're not fired up about the things of God. Well, one of the things that can fire us up about the things of God, you know, apart from hearing the pure word of God, is to be in a place of prayer. Prayer can fire things up. I mean, not the prayer of, Father, give me this, Father, give me that. No, but prayer, where we seek God. This is the kind of thing that can fire up the fire of God in us. Prayer. But, you know, people don't like prayer. People don't like prayer meetings. You know, hardly any church you go to and you check out their prayer meetings, those are the smallest numbers. Our church, too. When we have prayer meeting, people don't show up. On Sunday morning, though, the church is full. You know, now, come Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, you know, Thursday night, whatever night is prayer, some prayer group, nobody shows up. People don't really like prayer. You know, we just like glamour. You know, put on your nice clothes, go to church, praise team is there, and everything, everybody, you know, and afterwards you get to meet all your friends and so on. You know, all of that is glamorous, but is that the place of devouring fire? Is that a place of everlasting burnings? The people that come to church on Sunday, all excited and so forth, check out their life on Monday, on Tuesday, and Wednesday. And, you know, and then by Sunday, whole fire has gone out already. You know, people don't like prayer. But here's what God said about prayer. You know, in the book of Second Chronicles. And we all know this thing. We quote it all the time. But, you know, we may not have thought about it this way. But this is how God wants us to get fired up and move the hand of God. If my people. So if there is a big condition. My people call by my name, humble themselves and pray. See, that's how we move the hand of God. Humble yourself and pray as a group. You know, individual prayer is wonderful, but group prayer is what brings healing across the nation and healing of the land. Turn from their wicked ways. Why does God call his people wicked? God is saying here that my people that are called by my name have some wicked practices in them. You know, and these are the people of God. My people, which are called by my name, turn from their wicked ways. I mean, is this what God thinks about us? That we have wicked ways in us? Well, yeah. Who is a wicked servant? Well, he that will bury his talent. You know, Jesus called him that wicked servant. Buried his talent. He wouldn't do anything for the Lord. The Lord told him to do something and he wouldn't do it. God called it wickedness. We have wicked practices. You know, wickedness. You take up a reproach against your neighbor. It's wickedness. That's all these practices that we have. You know, backbiting, tongue, sowing discord among brethren and all these things. These are all wicked practices. And the Lord said, look, these are the things that are eating up revival. They're like the canker or the cancer. Eat up the fire. Quench the fire. Well, he said, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Wow. You know, that fire that they are looking for, I will also send it. You know, but who can endure the day of his coming? See, he said, the Lord shall come as a refiner's fire. But who shall endure? Who can withstand, you know, when he comes? Because Jesus said, well, I come with my fire, you know, And I will thoroughly fan my floor, purge it, and so forth. And he said, well, when he begins to cleanse, clean house. He said, let it start at my sanctuary, according to Ezekiel chapter 9. The days are come, said the Lord, that we must put ourselves in a position to be able to dwell in divine fire and with everlasting burnings. That our fire will not go out by getting rid of all these other things that grieve the Holy Spirit. I said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 and 30 tells us that there are many things that can grieve the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit of fire. But if we do not walk in his ways, we may just grieve him. And he might pull back. And in the meantime, we just keep doing whatever we're doing. Thinking, you know, that the Lord is still with us. But he's already pulled back because we didn't tremble at his word. You know, and if we disobey the voice of God, the power is pulled back. You know, and Samson, one day, he disobeyed God, you know, and let down his guard and everything. And the power was no longer there. But he thought, well, I'll just stir up myself as before. Well, he stirred up himself as before, but behold, the power was not there. He was gone. The scripture calls it Ichabod. The glory of the Lord had departed. He didn't even know it. So I'll just stir myself up as, you know, at previous times, but it didn't work this time because something was broken. But in his brokenness, God will yet show him that if you trust in God and not in your own abilities only, God can still do great things. But you see, we've got to realize that we need to stay with the Word of God to give us a chance to be able to dwell with the devouring fire and everlasting burnings. What about strange fire? You know, and I may continue some of this, you know, in part two, but, you know, what does the Bible call strange fire? And why is it, if God likes fire, then why is every fire not good? Then why are some of them strange? You know, that's a question, you know, that we need to answer. You know, there was a group of people, or two of them in particular, there was a group of people called the sons of the priest, the sons of Aaron. You know, but two of them were Nadab and Abihu. And in Leviticus chapter 10, you know, there was something that they were doing that they were not supposed to do. But they were doing it, and God called it strange fire. We'll talk about that some more later on. But, you know, they were judged very, very quickly. In those days, the judgment of God was quick. And, you know, somebody does something wrong that they were not supposed to do, especially in the holy things of God, they were judged very quickly. But remember that the grace of God is here, so God gives us oftentimes more rope to repent and everything. But that doesn't mean that we should take God for granted. Now, we need fire. Another thing that has, you know, devoured fire is written in the book of Joel chapter 2. The Lord talks about, you know, some things that are come to devour, you might call God's presence. You can call it anything else, but also call it God's presence that has been devoured, you know, by all the things like cankerworm, locust, caterpillar, you know, palmerworm, all of these things that devour things. Lord said, how do you get it back? Well, he said, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. And assemble the elders. Gather the children. And all those that said, get them out of there. Bring them in. And let the priests, even ministers of the Lord, let them weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and so forth. And then let them begin to cry out to God. You know, and then the Lord said, well, the Lord will be jealous. And we put away from us, be putting forth of the finger, put away iniquity, put away a mouth that speaks God, put away a heart that says the word of God doesn't matter. You know, put away a heart that chooses the things of the world over the things of God. Now remember, even the things that God himself gives, now God is the one that gives every good gift, and every perfect gift comes from above. Whether it is physical or material blessings, they all come from God. You know, it says in James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. So, you know, wealth and riches, Bible says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his, to do his commandments. Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. You know, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Even the things that God can give, like wealth and riches, children, whatever, promotion, good things in life, everything that God can give must never take the place of God, even though it comes from God. Those are some of the other things that can, you know, block the presence of the devouring fire. You know, now the devouring fire, our God is a consuming fire, it says in Hebrews 12 and 29. The devouring fire will be there, you know, cleansing our flesh, and also will devour our enemies. You don't even need to do anything. You say, well, when you do good to you, it's a coat of fire on their head. You don't need to do anything. The Lord will fight for you. You stay with the Lord. Don't even think about that. You know, but the everlasting burnings, you know, they keep the fire burning all the time. This fire that can devour, you know, of course, first thing you want the fire to devour is our own flesh. Put that flesh on the altar, you know. And sometimes we have to repair that altar too, in order for the fire to fall. There's a story in 1 Kings chapter 18, with Elijah and the prophets of the group, 400 and another 450 of them, you know, and all of that. And how Elijah mocked them, well, call upon your God or your gods, call upon Baal. You know, he said, God, after all, isn't he? Well, maybe he's on the phone. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. Why don't you guys scream a little bit louder? Maybe he'll hear you. But there was neither hearing nor voice. And he mocked them. And they cut themselves with knives and blood gushed out. They prophesied from morning till eternity, evening oblation. But yet, there was no voice, no hearing. Because it was a God of wood and stones and men's hands. We could do nothing. But Elijah now said, are you done? So he said, well, come unto me. And let's look at the things that Elijah did. You know, 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 30. He said, come unto me. And all the people came near to him. And the first thing was he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now let's see how he repaired it though. He took, this was the way that they built traditionally by, you know, instruction. They built the altar, 12 stones from, you know, the representing 12 tribes. So it took 12 stones. According to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying that Jacob, Israel shall be your name. So he took stones and he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Right? Then he made a trench about the altar. As great as will contain two measures of seed. Now, so notice the elements in this story. There were the stones. There was a trench. There was the wood. Now, he put the wood in order. You know, now the wood was going to be the fuel. So, and then he cut his own bullock. He told them, you choose yourself a bullock. I'll choose myself a bullock. And let's dress it up. Let's present it to our God. And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. So they did their own all day long. Nothing happened. So Elijah, now he's going to do his own. Cut the bullock in pieces, laid him upon the wood. Now, he's going to do something strange here to show you that this is not chance fire. It didn't happen by chance. Not two stones rubbed up against each other and caused the fire to spark. This is fire that's going to fall from heaven. He said, fill up the trench around the altar with water. They did it once. They do it again. They did it. They said, do it again. I mean, they filled it to where the water was flowing over. Now, water and fire don't mix. But God was going to show us through Elijah here. Elijah wanted to show the people that the fire, the real fire of God, can lick up all these things. But first, you got to repair the altar. Now, some of us have broken down altars in our lives and our families. You know, where we have not sanctified the word of God, where we have left a place of prayer. Most people say we have a family altar. Well, if you've left that place of prayer, the altar is broken down. You've got to fix it. You know, so we need to fix that. And then put the wood in place, you know. Fetch the wood, put it back in place, you know. And, you know, God is instructing us that you actually should be doing this every day. That's what I told the priest. Bring the wood every day and let the fire not go out. So Elijah is going to do the same. It's been a long time. They didn't have a true altar to the Lord. So he's going to show them how to do it. And put all the water around. The water around all about the altar. He filled the trench with water. I told them to do it and do it and do it and do it. You know, then he said, hear me, O Lord. That these people may know that thou art the Lord God. And that thou hast turned their heart back again. So God is going to do it, he prayed. So that these people may know that you are God. And I turn their heart from Baal unto the Lord by showing them who the true God is. And that they may also know that I am your servant. And the water, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water. Now that's real fire from God, not strange fire. Yeah, that's real fire from the Lord. I can fall and lick up all those things. Now, when the sacrifice is prepared right and placed upon a proper altar, the fire of the Lord will fall. That's a lesson. The sacrifice, the altar, and the fire. I'll be talking about that some more tomorrow. Now, the fire of the Lord that fell caused everybody to be afraid. Because now they saw the fire physically fall, come down upon the sacrifice, licked up even the water, licked up everything. Now, normally speaking, you use water to put out fire. In this case, this fire put out the water. Ha! Glory to God. Yeah, now that's some real fire. Now, that tells you also that it doesn't matter how lukewarm, cold the world around you is, how the darkness around you is, your own light can supersede. See, your own fire can lick up all those things. When you go into a dark room, what's the first thing you do? You turn on the light. When you turn on the light, then the next thing you know, the darkness vanished. We gotta crank up that fire, it'll lick up all the water, lick up the wood, lick up everything. The water cannot put out the fire. Normally, water will, you know, can make, put out fire, or cold water can put out hot water to where it becomes lukewarm. In this case, no. The fire licked up everything because it was done right. The altar was repaired. The bullock was prepared right. The sacrifice was placed on the altar. Did everything in order according to the law of Moses and all these things that God had given them, and put it out there. And the fire of the Lord fell. Now, we need to repair some altars in our lives, you know. And we also need to get that fire back in our bones, you know, the a fire that goes beyond our material needs. Check the way you pray. And if your prayer is all about what God will do for you in the material realm, and there's no hunger and thirst in your heart. Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. That's looking for that fire. They will get it. Well, check your prayer. Check your altar. Check your sacrifice. See if you can get the fire. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, let your loins be gathered about and your lights burning. Let your lamps be burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. You know, whatever time he will come, whether he will come, the fourth watch, fifth watch, third watch, whatever, that they may open unto him immediately. You know, not the ones that, you know, have to be woken up from sleep. If he shall come in the second watch, he said, or come in the third watch, and or whatever watch, he doesn't find them sleeping. You know, let's not be like those sleeping virgins. There are a lot of sleeping churches today. And in our lives too, we could be sleeping. Wherefore he saith, Ephesians 5 and 14, awake, thou that sleepest. You know, a little sleeping can lead to spiritual deadness. First, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. So the sleeping led to deadness. You know, a little slumber, a little folding up of the arms, you know, and all of that. Well, so shall thy spiritual poverty come, lacking the fire and lacking the presence of God. Because we're slumbering. Because we don't want to pray. You know, people don't want to pray. People don't want to fast. People don't want to seek the Lord. You know, we just want to coast along. You know, the disciples were coasting along. There came a time when they were faced with a situation and they couldn't do it. And he said, well, why couldn't we do it? He just said, well, first of all, because of your unbelief. But I'll tell you, there are some kind of devils that will not come out except you add fasting with your prayer. He said, fasting? Well, absolutely. He said, praying? Well, absolutely. And Jesus always got up early in the morning to pray and do these things. And so, how do we get this fire back? Start from the place of prayer. We got to find time to pray. Meditate on the word of God. He said, this word shall not depart out of your mouth. You're meditating on it. You're speaking it. Night and day, it's in your heart. It's in your mouth. You're choosing and you make a deliberate choice to seek after the things of God. Jesus says, seek ye first. I mean, you may seek these other things, but let that true seeking of God be first. And let it be prioritized above everything else. You know, that these other things, Jesus said, if you're doing it right, in the right order, you won't even need to pursue those other things. They will come to you. Because your father knows that you have need of those things. What your father really wants from you is a heart that is fired up. Glory to God. A heart that is on fire for the Lord. And God always using that fire to cleanse us. Even in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the train of the Lord fill the temple and he himself felt unworthy, God used one of the seraphims or the fire to cleanse his tongue. Took fire from the coals of fire from the altar and cleansed him. And it was like, I call it Holy Ghost branding. Comes from that fire. Fiery presence. And he will take he will reveal the filthy elements that are in us when we are in his presence like that. and the things that must be cleansed. Glory to God. You know, and God wants us to be a firebrand. Glory to God. A firebrand. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. The Lord I have chosen Jerusalem and rebuked thee. Is this not a firebrand? Talking about Zechariah. You know, and even Joshua. You know, so Joshua, the high priest at that time, was clothed with filthy rags, filthy garments, and he stood before the angel of the Lord. And he answered and said, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said, I've caused your iniquity to pass before thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Remember, the priest was said, put off the old garments, put on new garments when you go in to make the sacrifice. Let them set a fair mitre, like a crown, upon his head, and clothe him with garments. Glory to God. What kind of garments? Well, the anointing and the grace of God that's coming upon our lives, that Isaiah prophesied. He talked about it, the kind of garments that will come from the Lord. You know, he said, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. Isaiah 61 verse 10. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's right. You know, so garments of salvation save us even from our flesh. Praise God. The flesh is always one of the greatest blockers to the spirit. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we must put the flesh under. Now, in order for us, let me summarize what we talked about today. You know, who among us would dwell, right, with the devouring fire? You know, I mean, have that fire. Moses had that fire. Even when they saw his face, they couldn't even look at him steadfastly. They had put a veil over them. Had that fire. He got in with God and was in that fire. Mount Sinai was all together in a fire and a smoke, and Moses was right in there. Huh? Glory to God. Now, who can do it? Well, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that doeth righteously. He will not take up a reproach against his neighbor and all of that. Does not hear blood and, you know, backbiting and so on. It's not, their heart is not filled with unforgiveness and bitterness. You know, he shall dwell with the devouring fire and everlasting burnings. His place of munitions shall be like rocks. I mean, his defense will be sure. The Lord will watch over him. The Lord will put his hand upon their head and their back, comfort them and so forth in all their situations. And they will have the presence of the Lord. Now, our desire must be that we can enter into the presence and the glory of God. And on this journey that we are on, which we call walking with God, we must not stop till we get into that devouring fire, the everlasting burnings place. And we stay there. And if there is anything that is trying to put out that fire, you crank it up again every day so that the fire will never go out. Praise the Lord. Let me leave today's lesson there. Looking at the time, I'll leave today's lesson there. And there is a critical part of this that I want to continue by the grace of God. If you don't have this fire in you, well, you might just miss out on a great number of things, you know, and this fire is coming not only on the inside, is also coming visibly to us again at the end. Just like on the day of Pentecost, you know, they got the fire inside, but they saw the fire physically upon them as well. Glory to God. and this fire will return again. The prophetic word says cloud and pillar of fire will return. This phenomena will return again at midnight hour. This fire, you know, that went before elective Israel then will come again to guide us. And this presence will be so thick. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 4 talks about it. He calls it pillar of fire in the night, a cloudy pillar by day. He says, the Lord, Isaiah 4 and 5, will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, upon all our assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And all of them will experience the glory of God. There will be a defense unto them. Praise God. And everyone that's outside this dynamic haze of power, we're told, just very well missed the rapture. Because Elijah went in chariots of fire. Glory to God. And God wants us to be fired up. Elijah was a man that was used to fire. And he wasn't any stranger to it. He could enter into those chariots. And it came with fire like that. He can enter in because he was used to it. And the chariots of fire appear today. Will you be able to step up and enter in? Are you used to fire of the Lord? Or are we just carrying on a lukewarm sense all day long? Well, let's be fired up and be ready to always, shine with the glory and the fire of God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for us. This is a teaser. Call this a teaser. Or you just call it God doesn't like to tease, actually, but it's just a bait to draw you in. Teasing means he will show it to you, but doesn't give it to you. So the Holy Spirit just corrected me about that. God doesn't tease. When he shows it to you, is to draw you in. When he showed Moses the fire was to draw him in. And God was just to draw us in. There's more, but there must be a hunger. There must be a thirsting. Father, I pray, Lord, count us worthy to be among those that we dwell with everlasting burnings in the devouring fire, that will have a fire of God in our hearts all the time, sold out and on fire for Jesus. Deliver us, Lord, from this spirit of lukewarmness and spirit of the age, slumber. We don't want to be among those that slumber and slept. So let your lights be burning, and you yourself as men that are watching for their Lord. Don't want to be waiting in sleep mode. We want to be waiting in watching mode. Help us, O Lord, direct our hearts to the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ in watching mode and not in sleeping mode. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will satisfy or set a fire, light a fire in our bones, a fire that we can control, a fire that we can contain. Glory to God. Fires of revival we need. Let it begin with me in the name of Jesus. Our soul is thirsty. And there's only one thing that can fill it. It's the fire of God. And we don't know what it is. That's why we reach out to all these other things in the world. We think those things will satisfy. They can't. God has fixed it. Only the fire of his presence can satisfy that soul. And I pray, Lord, that you give it back. Take us back. Give it back to us, Lord. And let us not be like those that have a name, that they live but are dead. Spiritual hypocrisy. But let us be people that truly hunger for the fire and glory of God. And we know that we shall be filled. Jesus said it so. We hunger and thirst for the things of God, you shall be filled. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Open our ears to hear and open our mouths that we may be able to declare the things that God has. And let the speakers and the hearers both be inspired by God throughout this series. a fire getting it back in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.